Hi, I'm Dan Q, and you're listening to a podcast that nobody asked for, exclusively about things that only I find interesting. Today, I'll be talking about special roads. As usual, there's a blog post to accompany this episode. Today, you can find it at danq.link/roads. Special roads. Sometimes I've been on dual carriageways or motorways that seem to specify a speed limit that's exactly the same as the national speed limit. That's 60 or 70 miles an hour for most vehicles, depending on the type of road. And that seems a bit pointless. For example, there's this stretch on the A1 east of Edinburgh where you'll pass a blue sign suggesting that you're on a motorway, that says what kinds of vehicles aren't allowed there, and underneath it, there's a 70-mile-an-hour sign, which should be redundant. You're on a dual carriageway, the speed limit should be 70 miles an hour. And I've always wondered why those signs are there. Are they just to reinforce what we should already know? No, it turns out there's a complex legal reason that they're there. But to understand them, we first need a history lesson. As early as the 1930s, it was becoming clear that Britain might one day need a network of high-speed, motor vehicle-only roads, what we call motorways. The first experimental part of that network would be the Preston Bypass, near where I used to live. The Preston Bypass lives on as M6 junctions 29 through 32. Construction of the Preston Bypass wouldn't actually begin until the 1950s, but it wasn't just the Second World War that got in the way of work beginning, there was a legislative challenge too. You see, when the Preston Bypass was first conceived, there was no legal recognition for roads that would restrict the types of traffic that were permitted to drive on them. If a new public highway were built, it would have to allow pedestrians and cyclists and horse riders, which would somewhat undermine the point of the exercise of a new high-speed motor road. So before it could be built, the government needed to pass the Special Roads Act 1949, which enabled the designation of public roads as special roads, to which entry could be limited to certain classes of vehicles. Curiously, there's actually nothing to stop a local authority using the powers of the Special Roads Act and its successors to declare a special road accessible to some strange and exotic permutation of vehicle classes if they really wanted. For example, you could make a special road that is designated for cyclists, but that horses are forbidden on, although I'm moderately confident that's never happened. Now, if you don't check your sources carefully when you research the history of special roads, you might be taken in by articles that state that special roads are now known as motorways, but that's not quite true. All motorways are special roads, by definition, but not all special roads are motorways. There's maybe a dozen, perhaps a few more, non-motorway special roads. I'm very thankful to some research by the website Pathetic Motorways for helping understand this. Non-motorway special roads tend to be used in places where something is like a motorway, but can't quite be a motorway. For example, in Manchester, the A57M and a couple of its slip roads have pedestrian crossings, so they have to be designated special roads rather than motorways, because motorway regulations mean that you can't have a pedestrian crossing. There's a whole statutory instrument that makes those Mancunian slip roads possible. If you're having difficulty getting to sleep at night, they make some great dry reading. Now we know what special roads are, and that we might find them all over the place, and that they can superficially look like motorways, let's talk about speed limits. The Road Traffic Act 1934 introduced the concept of a 30-mile-an-hour national speed limit in built-up areas, which is still effectively in force today. But outside of urban areas, there was no speed limit. Perhaps there didn't need to be, while cars were still relatively slow, but automobiles became increasingly powerful over the second half of the last century. Fun fact, the fastest speed ever legally achieved on a British motorway was in 1964 during a test by AC Cars when driver Jack Sears reached 185 miles an hour. In any case, in the late 1960s, an experiment was run in setting the speed limit on motorways to 70 miles an hour, And then the experiment got extended, and then that regulation was made permanent. There have been changes since then, for example, to prohibit HGVs from going faster than 60 miles an hour, but fundamentally, this point in 1967 is where Britain's national speed limit on motorways comes from. And I can read you a little bit from the Motorways Traffic Speed Limit England Regulations 1967, point 3. No person shall drive a motor vehicle on a motorway at a speed greater than 70 miles an hour. Now, you may have spotted the quirk there. When special roads were created, they didn't have a speed limit. Some special roads were later categorised as motorways, and then motorways later had a speed limit imposed. But there are still a few non-motorway special roads. Putting a national speed limit sign on a special road would be meaningless because those roads have no centrally legislated national speed limit. That's why they need a speed limit sign, even if that sign, confusingly, might specify a speed limit that matches what you would have expected on that kind of road. Here's an interesting thought, though. It's possible that the speed restrictions that are based on the class of your vehicle and the type of road, like 60 miles an hour for lorries on motorways, might not be enforceable on special roads. So, if you want to go and try driving your lorry at 70 miles an hour on a motorway-like special road with 70 signs, then do your own research first. Don't rely on some idiot you heard on a podcast. I am not a lawyer, etc., etc. In any case, that's the usual reason that you'll sometimes see these surprising signs. They're much more common in Scotland and Wales than they are anywhere else in the UK, but understanding why that is a much deeper dive that I'll leave to you. Once again, this episode was based on a blog post which you can find at danq.link/roads. If you enjoyed today's episode, leave a comment there or email me on podcast@danq.me. And as always, Dan Q for listening. Thank you very much.